Blog Talk Radio.
On June 11th, 2014, and the introduction today comes via my good friend Martin Marty Snyder, S-N-Y-D-E-R, Marty Snyder, the CEO of PCRecruiter.com. He posted on my Facebook group an article by Forbes magazine by the famous Josh Burson. And here's what Josh Burson, the famous Josh Burson, had to say. He said that there's 10 to 15% of the population that's above average. When they work, they're above average. They're what we call the top talent. Then there's a large part of the population that's slightly below average, right there in the middle. And then there's a small group it's far below average. Looks to me like the standard bell curve. There's a small number of really good people, then there's the rest of us, and then there's a small number of really bad people. And Bill Gates said that Microsoft's competitive edge rests on a small group of really good people. If they left the company, he said, it would fail. Those people are the top talent. They lead the company. Everybody else follows them, right? And here's what Josh Burson says about top talent. He says there's superstars in every group. Some software engineers are 10 times more productive than the average software engineer. Some salespeople deliver 2 or 3 times more than their peers. So here's what he concludes. Josh Burson says that you should go out and hire as many of those hyper performers, the top guys, as possible. But you know what? When he said that, I had to take a step back and think, because I watched a video on YouTube recently about Crosby, Stills, and Nash, you know, the music group? And they were interviewing, well, you know, all these people about them. And one of the music industry insiders, this is what he said when Neil Young joined the group. He said he knew that the group wouldn't last because no group can last with too many big egos in it, because every superstar wants to go his own way. He doesn't want to follow other people. He needs average people to follow him. And I believe this is what our good friend Jerry Albright means when he says that not every company top talent, not every company needs top talent. They just need people who can do the job. You know what? J.D. Jason Davis says the same thing too. They just need people who can do a job. And I'm going to ask my guest what she thinks about that when she joins us on Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
This is the Recruiting Animal Show!
My friends,
you are welcome.
I quoted you in the introduction, you know, and I thought you were heavy breathing into the mic, but I got a fan going here, and I think maybe that's what's causing that.
No, I was on mute, as per our written agreement.
Yeah, okay. I think that blowing is into my mic from my own end. I'm sorry, but that's all I could think of. I was talking. Anyway, look, I'm going to
I thought you were a mouth breather.
I'm a mouth breather? Maybe. I don't know, and I don't care. You know how they always say it's better to breathe through your nose? I don't agree.
I don't agree either.
Through
your mouth. Yeah, okay. Look, I'm
right
gonna
now we just need your breathing.
Yeah. I'm going to ask the guest what she thinks of your idea that I quoted in the introduction, but first I'm going to introduce her, okay? Melissa Adamo, are you there?
Stop.
I'm
yes?
Here.
Speak up, dear. Speak up. Speak up. Don't make
I'm
me
here,
beg,
I'm
okay?
Here, I'm, here. I'm here. I'm here. You can't hear me?
Yeah, okay. I can hear you now. I
turned
on
my Melissa.
Hat.
Okay, good. Hi.
Okay. Melissa.
How could you miss this accent?
Melissa, what kind of phone are you on? You're not on a landline.
No, I'm
Silence.
On a computer phone, which you said last week I could call in.
Are you using a headset?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Same as you, animal. See, you've
okay,
lowered your standard, dude. You have no authority now on this whole phone thing, dude. You
yep. Don't give me a hard time, okay, Jerry? Look, I'm just going to introduce
I'll
this
do
girl.
Whatever I want.
Melissa Adamo is a technical recruiter at Mobiquity, M-O-B-I-Q-U-I-T-Y. She works with last week's guest, Jeff Newman. Her boss is an animal alumnus, Martin Burns, and her Twitter address is Adamo Recruits, A-D-A-M-O Recruits. Adamo, what does that mean? She's a dame or I love you in Italian? What does Adamo mean?
I haven't a clue. My ex-husband's last name.
Oh, okay, it's not your name. What was your maiden name?
Lander.
Blander? Yeah, it is pretty bland. You're
Lander.
Better off
with... No.
Okay, Lander. Okay, look, do you want to sing a song?
Your...
You know what?
Yeah, what
your
you
sound is going. Your sound is going in and out. It's going to cause a problem right through the show. I guarantee it. But anyway, do you want to sing a song?
Is that better?
No,
oh.
You're on a speaker now.
Is that better?
Don't screw me. Don't screw
no.
me with the sound. You know what? Surely your company can pay for a land. Maybe you don't recruit on a landline. Is that what you're telling me?
That's right.
Shame on you, okay? Shame on you. Okay, we're going to sing.
That's because she uses video recruiting. You don't recruit when
That's
you're doing
right.
a video call on a landline, man.
Look, I can hear you, Jeff. I can't hear her. But, you know, so let's just move on anyway. We're going to do the song. Do you know Bird on a Wire, Melissa?
No. Newman will sing it, though.
No. You'll sing with me. I'm going to sing. I'm going to say the words. You're going to say them after me because it's a kind of a talking song, okay?
Okay,
you ready?
Fair enough.
Like
I'm ready.
A bird on a wire. Your turn. Say that.
Like a bird on a wire.
Like a drunk in a midnight choir.
Oh, my God. Like a drunk in a midnight choir.
I have tried in my way to be free.
Why do you do
this?
Oh, this
is painful.
This is uncool, man.
Come on, can't you say that, Melissa?
Absolutely uncool.
Like a worm on a hook, like a knight.
There we go.
There you go.
I have
like a knight from old-fashioned
everyone book. Who's reached out for me. It's by a Canadian, Leonard Cohen. We'll move on. Okay, look.
We should have totally done New York, New York.
Yeah, how many people did you recruit on Twitter last year?
None.
What?
None.
That's unbelievable.
None.
What about
everybody's recruiting on Twitter.
Everybody is. Yeah, what about on Facebook?
Recruiting their asses off.
What about
Joe
on Facebook?
Plumber,
how many people did you recruit on Facebook last year? Answer my question.
Two.
There we go.
Two, you recruited
two. I actually recruited two.
There were two
entry-level roles, yes.
And you placed them.
I placed them.
Can you tell us a story how you sourced these people on Facebook? Come on. I want to hear. How did you source them? What did you do? Let's hear about that.
I literally put it on. You know, sometimes it's better to just be honest than come up with the story. So I literally put it on a status and people respond, and I say send to your friends and your network, and there they went.
So
and people reached out to people I weren't friends with.
So you've got a personal Facebook page, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you just did the jobs on your personal Facebook page and asked people to retweet it or whatever they call it, share it,
yes.
And that eventually got you two candidates. Is that what you're telling me?
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
Okay, you didn't do a search on Facebook.
No, you just use it as a status. Was the easiest way, and then your friends or whomever your Facebook followers.
How many friends and followers do you have?
At the time, it wasn't very many. You don't need everybody and their mother to be your friend or follower. You just need the right people to be your friends and followers, depending on what you're on the board for.
Okay, so your grandparents aren't following you. They didn't get you those candidates. Is that what you're telling us?
It would be pretty hard for them to do that unless I'm recruiting bingo people.
Okay. So good. We got all the social media stuff. Although I have to tell you, and I warned you, I was going to talk about this. Your Twitter, you've got no Twitter bio. You've got no web link in your Twitter profile to your LinkedIn profile. Why not? Why? What's the point of having a Twitter profile if you don't let us know who you are?
You know, I got to tell you, true story. I was internal corporate for a very long time, and it was financial services, and we really weren't allowed. So I had to fly under the radar for a very long time, and now that I'm not, we're kind of getting up and getting in there. So
it takes you more than the normal person would take 10 minutes. It takes you like 10 months or something
15.
Like that. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, 15 or 20 minutes.
You didn't have it last week. Okay, and your LinkedIn profile, you've got a 2-paragraph description of your company, which I don't understand. And then you've got yourself working there.
It's
you've got
English,
the title,
though.
But you don't say what you do. You don't say what you do. Why not?
Okay, so we'll break it down in a few ways. Senior talent acquisition specialist. You even know what that means. It's
yeah,
a senior role, acquiring talent.
What kind of talent?
You know what? Technology talent. Look at the name of the company, Mobiquity.
Jerry.
Come on, you're a smart guy.
Out there. Can somebody
Jerry.
Else help out here? That's a ridiculous LinkedIn
yeah.
profile.
No, it's not. You
okay.
Listen, it could be ridiculous all at once. If it's getting me the candidates, it doesn't matter.
It's getting you candidates?
Yes.
Your LinkedIn profile's getting – how's it getting you candidates?
It's through connections. I don't have to
okay.
tell my life story, and I don't think anyone should either.
Wait. This is about your life story.
No.
This
is show
your life, okay? How'd you get into the business?
We could talk about my
life
story now.
Oh, come on, just answer my question. Just listen to me, okay?
No
wonder you found an ex-husband, okay? Listen to me.
LinkedIn is an introduction to who you are. The rest is done over the phone in a more personalized email. LinkedIn is an introduction. It's not a here's the book of my life. That's what I waited for this show for. This is a first step.
Okay. How did you
LinkedIn
get into
LinkedIn is
the
your first step.
Well, I'm going to take you back, way back. How did you get...
What was that?
Somebody's taking the trash out.
How did you get... How did you get in the business? How did you get in the business? How did you become a recruiter? Do you want me to say it 10 more times?
No, I heard you, even in your accent, the first five.
Yeah, man.
I gotcha. I heard him. I was internal in HR and recruiting for a very long time after being a buy-side equity trader. And then I left to go work for one of my vendors, and I became an agency recruiter.
Easy as that.
It was easy as that.
And? Now you're a corporate recruiter.
And now I'm back internal. That's correct.
Why is that?
Agency wasn't for me. It's for other people. It's not for me.
Why? In what way? This is Jerry's question. I'm asking it for him.
It's Jerry's question.
I'll ask.
Additional question.
In what way?
You know what? I spent it's probably a boring enough, okay? But I like to be out and see things end to end. Right? Versus many different clients, you're only seeing a small portion of the business you're doing. And on the agency side, you lose that personal touch. And I didn't want to lose it anymore. So I came back internal. I like to go out on the floor and talk to the managers and talk to the people. Agency, you spend a lot of time in voicemail.
How does the money compare?
Personally or in general? Both.
In general.
Different. Very different. Still very different. You're a salary versus a commission, but it shouldn't always be about money. It would be the same thing I told the candidate. It's about your job satisfaction. It's about how happy you are going to work every day. It's not, we all have to do it. We all have to work. unless we're independently wealthy. But all of us on this call have to work. So you have to be satisfied. And if you go to work every day and you hate it, the job is not for you. So
Okay. Money,
no amount of money is going to buy that for you, regardless of where you're working.
Jerry, what do you think of that?
I'm still stuck on we all have to go to work. I think there's about half of our population that didn't get that message.
Right,
but I don't want to go political.
Okay. Go. Okay.
Jerry,
now look.
You completely,
Melissa,
but I thought that was another show.
Melissa, you got. I looked at your link. You got some very enthusiastic LinkedIn recommendations. One is from a woman named Michelle Kaufman. She says, Melissa is very hardworking, meticulously detail-oriented, a joy to be around, and a quick learner. Okay, what does detail-oriented mean in the context of recruiting? Because everybody wants
meticulously detail-oriented, which is different.
Yeah, what?
That's different than just your regular detail-oriented.
Yeah,
I think.
What does that mean?
It's like supersized.
I agree. Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome.
You have to. Oh, anytime. I think you have to. And what I've done is you have to listen and not just hear what people are saying. Anybody can hear what you say. You really have to listen, and you have to take notes and write it down and really care. And this is how you become meticulous. You have to really care and listen to what people are saying, be it candidate or client or agency or corporate, quote-unquote, internal. You have to listen to what people are saying. You have to listen to your managers and to your candidates also.
Now, I thought
because
it was something about how you organized your desk. So that's not it. It's about it's about you're listening to the details that come from the candidate or the client. Can you give us an example? Is it possible you remember, since you do this so meticulously, some examples of when you were a meticulous listener? I wouldn't call that detail-oriented. I would call that she's a very good perceptive listener. That's what it means, according to you.
Well, listen,
can you?
We'd have to get Michelle on the phone, and she'll tell you all about it. That was also, you understand, at a time when we were stock trading. So we had to be very detail-oriented and very meticulous
because we were making decisions. So you should have just told me that has nothing to do with your recruiting career. Is that right?
No, because it did. We were doing both at the same time.
We were trading stock, but yet also responsible for growing the team. So we were doing both at the same time.
Uh-huh. Okay. You know, I got a feeling I didn't get a good answer. I got a feeling like I'm pulling teeth when I'm trying to get an answer out of you. Don't do that. It's still a little early in the show. It's still possible to save it, even though it's going downhill. Listen to my question.
You just don't like the answer you're getting. But it's the truth answer.
Okay, well, give me one story about how you've been meticulously detail-oriented, a real-life story.
A real-life story. For that, I can't give you. You know, you can have a general story about recruiting for architects. You want to talk about stock trading, we can. It's not what you want to talk about.
Okay. You know what? You're detail-oriented, but you can give me a general answer. You don't see a contradiction there, but I do. Okay. Bob Doherty.
Okay.
Bob Doherty said this about you. Melissa is incredibly bright, anticipates well, and works very well with everyone she encounters. What does it mean to anticipate well? Was that in the recruiting business as well, or was that in some other business when he said that?
It was in another business, but it translates to recruiting. It translates
to
recruiting.
What does it mean?
Do your job. You sort of have to be like radar from MASH. You have to know what's happening before it happens. You have to build relationships. And because of that, when you get to know your people, you have to understand what they're saying and also what they're not saying. It's those parts of life that are underwritten. It's a job description that they're giving you a job description and they want it back with a person's name on top, and that's not what they're going to get. So you have to find out what's written, which you can clearly see, and then what's not. And that's how to be a good recruiter.
Yeah, okay, anticipates well. Let's move on. Jim Robotham, did he work with you in a recruiting environment?
He did.
Okay. He says Melissa is one of the best technical – it's my everybody, my fault. I thought those other two endorsements were from recruiting, and they weren't. Here's one that's from recruiting. He says Melissa
is one of the – file to the bottom.
Yeah. Sounds like somebody needs to be a little more detail-oriented.
Yeah, I'm not. Melissa is one of the best technical recruiters I've ever seen. Listen to this. Using advanced techniques – most recruiters never would. Come
now
on,
we're getting there.
Now we're getting
now,
to the meat.
Now I'm going
to
learn something.
I like it.
What are these advanced techniques?
Can I
what are
talk
those
about those
techniques?
In a public setting? Well, some we can't talk about, right? They're,
we can talk about anything here. We can talk about anything.
Exactly.
Go on.
Can we? So there are here. So, yeah, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, excellent. What can you do? You can go on some government websites that are free to go on. I'm not being crazy or anything. You control who's got patents. You can go on the App Store or on iTunes or Google Play and see who created apps and then call those people. You can see who has things copyrighted to them. You can call those people. Anybody could go on a board. Right, we could all do that. You got to be a little more
He's
nosy.
Good.
You got to be a little nosy. They're
you
a niche site.
God forbid it's true, but maybe you got a story of when you actually recruited and placed somebody using one of those advanced techniques. Go
I
ahead,
do.
Tell
I'm going to tell you. I actually do. There was a role we had, and it was for an IOS architect. This was at another job. It wasn't here. And I found this guy who created a couple of apps on the iTunes store. He happened to have been speaking at a conference. I went to the conference. I started to talk to him about his apps. And one conversation led to another. And again, it was not here. It was at the agency. And I ended up placing that gentleman at a company I still can't talk about, but they're app creators. And he
for how much?
Continues
how
to
much,
work for them.
How much? What salary did he get?
But he actually was above 90.
Above 90. Okay.
Above
90.
Okay.
Over
above
a 90. Year ago, so I can say. Here I can't.
No, I'm not asking about your current. And we don't know the guy's name. We don't know the company.
Nope.
So, you know, okay. You know what? Does anybody else have a question? I'm actually, you know, I'm not doing too well, I think. There's a lot of people on the line. Does anybody have a good question for Melissa? Obviously, people love
her.
Well,
what happens on the animal show stays on the animal show. She can speak freely. We're all listening intently.
Yeah, we're the only ones who are ever going to hear it. Jeff Newman is here. Do you have a good question for Melissa?
I know Melissa a long time, but I think very interesting if she wants to talk about it is how she sees the difference between recruiting agency and recruiting corporate, because they're very similar, but I've watched her in both environments, and she's definitely recruits different. Still as aggressive as she needs to be.
Can we get an example of the difference?
Yeah. Maybe we should interview Jeff about Melissa. What does she do different?
Go ahead. Oh, I'd like to hear this one, too.
I'd like to hear it, too.
Go
ahead.
I think that she used to, when she was agency, she would push clients the way you have to push clients. But she understands that her internal clients cannot be pushed the same way. She's just as pushy, quote-unquote pushy. It's a negative word. I don't mean it in a negative way.
I like this.
She's just
word.
As aggressive without being as harsh as she sometimes had to be when she was agency side.
Let's hear an example of harshness. Come on. What did she do that you thought was harsh?
We had a candidate in for an NFP, for a not-for-profit, and they were just sitting on this candidate, and she was amazing. And it was a really impossible recruit. And it was, I don't remember what the specific was, but there was something like one of those, you know, I wanted to code Java but also know how to teach Tango as well as have a degree in an advanced foreign language. And we found the person. And we sent him in, and then the client just sat. And she finally called, and she didn't say, she said, listen, no one else is going to get this for you. No one else is going to do it. So shit or get off the pot. Pardon my French.
Literally.
And the candidate got interviewed, and I think she got an offer. I don't remember. Do you remember, Melissa?
She did get the offer.
Yeah.
She did
okay,
get the offer.
And internal, she wouldn't tell anyone who's moving slowly to shit or get off the pot. She would call. She would smooth. She would cajole. But she wouldn't be as harsh and as blunt, you know, you're going to lose the person if you don't move. She
Why
would
not?
Say it in other ways.
Why not? Why not?
Because it's internal. It's different.
It's internal.
And what makes it different?
Why couldn't you be that same way with an external customer? I would never say that to a customer, and I'm an agency guy, and I can be smooth, you know, forward but friendly. I mean, what's
the
difference?
I don't think that was a direct quote. It wasn't a direct quote.
She said it was. She said it was.
No, no, I have to tell you something. It was closer than you think. It's because I had ended up developing a nice relationship with their then CIO. And I said, listen, if I could sort of give you a quote, I said, we're having a shit or get off the pot moment is what I actually said. Because
it was aggressive. Look, you dummy, I busted my ass to get this person for you, and now you're doing nothing about it. Are you crazy?
Well, that was the shit I got off the pot moment.
And
because
I
if I didn't say it,
I gotta tell you,
if I didn't say it in the reason, would have.
If you're actually in the company with the person and they know that you're both trying to help the company and they don't do anything when you're working, you've got more of a right than ever to go and knock on that person's door and say, don't screw up. Don't screw me, pal.
Mm-hmm.
Do something
mm-hmm.
now. They're like your brothers and sisters.
Animal, that's what they call meticulously aggressive.
Or detail-oriented.
Yeah.
You know what you'd think, but once you're sitting in the same quote-unquote house as somebody else, now we're talking about things like your employee handbook and who knows if they're going to be offended if you tell them to shit or get off the pot. So you have to choose your words much more wisely.
It seems like that's the backward way. With your family, you're much more direct than you are with strangers. Okay? That's
absolutely.
How it works.
But we're still
like Mike Cox. That was Mike Cox. He works internal, right?
Yes.
Okay. Are you very blunt with the people you speak to internally when they do something dumb like we just heard?
No, not to share specific examples, but internally you build a much stronger, much closer relationship, and you can definitely be more blunt. Externally, if you're blunt, you stand the risk of you risk losing the opportunity. Internally, I'm going to tell somebody absolutely they need to move their ass or they need to, hey, why did you miss that interview? What the fuck?
No, it's gone too far.
No, it hasn't. He told us exactly how they talk, and that's how I expect they would talk internally.
You know, my kids listen to this show sometime. From time to time, to learn how to be a recruiter, and the cussing and the stuff.
There's not that much cussing. I agree with Mike. Said the right thing. He told us exactly what I wanted to know. Okay. Now listen, Melissa. Are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
There's somebody watching TV or something in the background.
Turn
there.
Oprah off, dude. Dr. Phil.
No, there's other people talking behind me. We're working.
Yeah.
Here.
Okay. Look, Jeff Newman, who was just on, he says, Melissa, he says, I've always been in awe of Melissa's people skills. Talk to her for 10 minutes, and you feel like you've known her for 10 years. What is he referring to? Are you aware that you've got a special ability to create rapport?
I have superpowers.
Yeah, okay, tell us about them. You know what? Here's the idea of this show. Melissa, wait a sec. Here's the idea of this show. You've got to give us little nuggets that people can take away from the show. They can learn from you. You're not trying hard enough to do that. I'm going to tell you. It's like I'm having to pull information out of you, and I have to depend on your colleague to tell a story, okay? So try to tell me something concrete. Go ahead.
But you're not asking anything concrete. Here's the truth of the matter. You have to get to know people.
okay? And if you're not going to get to know people and you're not going to care and you're not going to listen, you're going to suck at recruiting, you're going to suck at being an HR person, and that's just the way it is. You literally have to care about what other people say. Like, here, perfect example. When I first met Jeff, okay, Jeff and I had a three-minute conversation, literally, and he sent me a book based on what he thought I might like to read. We started talking after that because he was listening to me and I was listening to him. That's good recruiting. You're listening to your managers. You're listening to your candidates. And quite honestly, you're listening to yourself. This goes back to our conversation last week. There are bad candidates. There are unplaceable candidates. And there are managers, internal or external, who are always going to ask for the proverbial purple squirrel. In order to get good people skills, you have to actually speak and act like a person and not a robot. I also think it's the accent.
What am I taking away from this? What's someone going to take away from what you just told me? When you talk to somebody, send them a book after the conversation, that's how you build rapport?
I want to know how you build rapport.
Don't just tell me I listen to people. That doesn't mean anything, okay?
Because you don't listen. If you were listening to what I'm saying, Animal, my friend, you'd understand.
That's the point.
No. You have to find a personal connection based on shared interest, based on a shared conversation. You can't just call somebody and say, hey, do you want the job? I saw your resume. You want the job?
Just give me an example. Like, I don't know why Mike Cox said, I would never give a real-life example, but that's what I'm dying for, real-life examples. Tell me how you built rapport with somebody or how you built rapport when someone else couldn't, something like that, or when you saw another recruiter doing something wrong, something not recent, so you wouldn't have to worry about who knows. Tell me when you saw someone doing something wrong and they weren't building rapport.
Okay. So there was a candidate that we had at one of the agencies, very smart, very good. I think the people that I worked with probably had him on about 10 or 15 interviews. The guy couldn't seem to get a job. And everybody said he was fantastic. Great candidate. But what were they doing? They were sending him to financial services companies, and that's not where he wanted to work. He would go on the interview for whatever reason. It was before I got there. And I called him, and I spoke to him because he had great skills. And he said, you know what? All the interviews I've been on were really good. I just don't think I want to go to financial services again. And I sent him to a not-for-profit. He got the job. He's still there. It's about 4 years. There's a real-life example.
Does that require exceptional listening? The guy said, I'm not interested in financial services. Does that require some real rapport building? Oh, Jeff, let's bring Jeff back.
No. But you're not understanding. It was rapport. Nobody else heard what he was saying. I listened to what he said. They only saw the skills. The skills were fantastic. I saw the skills, but they weren't listening to his requests. They weren't listening to what he as a human being wanted.
That example didn't require any subtlety at all. The guy was saying quite clearly, I don't want to work in financial services. They just didn't care.
Right.
That's not a matter of, you know, I don't know,
Why didn't anybody else hear him? Of course it is. Why didn't anybody else hear him then?
Oh, no. Jeff Newman, come back for a second. We're quoting
Jeff,
you here.
You tell me. I got the question.
I'm here. Because they saw a piece of paper and they saw a commission check. And they forgot that in between the commission check and the resume is a person. And they saw a set of skills. They saw dollar signs, and they said, "I don't." They may have even heard it, but they didn't hear it. It didn't register, and they said, "Well, I have a job at J.P. Morgan. This guy fits the job. They're offering a lot of money," but they didn't hear the candidate's hot buttons.
Okay, listen.
And
to
Melissa
me.
Heard what the hot button was.
It wasn't very hard to hear, was it, Jeff?
Then how come no one else did it?
Okay.
It wasn't
what
hard
Jeff
to
said.
Hear. I'm not saying it was difficult, but nobody else heard it.
I'll
so
tell you what's hard
the
to hear.
Check,
You're
I
hard
did.
To hear. You're hard to hear, but I can't, you know.
I hear you just. I hear you loud and clear right in
good.
My ears.
Good. Now, look, I wish I could hear you loud and clear in my ears, but I can't. Now, look, Jeff, you said I was in awe of Melissa's people skills. Talk to her for 10 minutes. You feel like you've known her for 10 years. What does that mean exactly? Since you said it, I'll ask you. What does it mean? Can you give us an example? I mean, I don't think the example we're talking about right now reveals that much about rapport building.
I didn't want to go back to agency. After I was done, I took a gig. I was in between. I was interviewing all over the place. I didn't really want to go to another boutique agency. I had been there, done that. And Melissa and I spoke, and it really was 10 minutes, and it wasn't about recruiting. It was just about BS, who we are, people stuff. And I said, this is someone that I can not only work with, but I can make money with. And her professionalism, the areas where we agreed, the truest test of someone's intelligence is how much they agree with you. And we hit it off. And I said, we come from such similar places and have such similar styles, and I can learn so much from her because I didn't have those HR skills. And I said, I can teach her so much because she doesn't have a lot of the recruiting skills that I have. And it was a symbiotic relationship.
Okay, you know, I
and
guess
I've
I should stop
her.
Asking this. I should stop asking this question because I'm not getting anything from either of you that I can
take. Well, lead
in.
Me. What do you want to hear? I'm
wanna
not
be able
getting
to,
what you're...
I want to be able to talk to a stranger or even talk to Jerry.
I've
and
seen
build,
her
and build
in an elevator. I've seen her on the Long Island Railroad when we used to both live in the same area of New York. She saw a guy reading a book called Intro to C++. And she walked over and said, are you starting from scratch or is it just something basic? And he goes, well, I really come from an HTML background. I don't see it going anywhere. And she said, and then it became a whole thing. And the next thing I know, they're exchanging cards and she got a resume. I don't remember if she placed them or not, but I was going to say she picked up a guy on a train, but that sounds kind of dirty. She picked up a candidate on the train because he was reading a book called Introduction to C++ Programming. And that, to me, is what a true recruiter does. They see the opportunity. They see someone who might be a potential in there, and she
okay,
went
thanks.
And
yeah,
did
okay.
it.
Okay, I'm
and
moving
then,
on.
And then
I'm
you
moving
ask,
on. I'm
wait,
moving
wait,
on.
Wait,
I'm
I want
moving
to
on.
Talk
no, 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 no. That's not a – you know, it's nothing.
Okay.
What I'm talking about calling up, cold calling somebody and getting them to like you in 10 seconds so they don't want to hang up. They want to talk to you about whatever it is you want to talk about. A long-term relationship.
You don't think approaching a stranger
job.
On a train is more difficult than a cold call?
There was a prop there that it was a useful tool for opening a conversation. Calling
and
someone
the prop
phone,
over the phone is a
know.
Resume, is a LinkedIn profile. I think it's much harder to do the in-person approach. Out of nowhere, you got to have gumption.
Hey, you call someone up, say, hey, I saw your profile on LinkedIn. I really like it. No thank you, goodbye. A rapport builder wouldn't get that no thank you. They would know how to get the person to talk to them. That's building rapport. Getting someone to talk to you who really doesn't want to talk to you, who doesn't want to talk
Which
to anybody
what,
else.
And she does it on the prop because she doesn't say, I saw your LinkedIn profile, dot. I've heard her call and say, I saw your LinkedIn profile, and I saw you graduated from Horace Harding in 96. We were high school rivals. And the guy will go, really? And she'll lead from there. That's what it building rapport is.
What if she called someone from China who didn't go to school in the United States, okay? You can't always find something in common.
Now you're talking
we're
about
human beings,
general size chicken, man. Come on, dude.
Always something. Because we all pull our pants down to take a poop. We're human beings. At the end of the day, there's always something common between people.
Yeah.
And she can find it.
Is what you have to refer to. Okay, I'm going to change the topic. Nobody's helping me here. I got nothing to take away.
Dude, I can't. I'm waiting for something to jump in with, and I 40 minutes in, I got nothing. I'm sorry.
Okay, here's something that you're not going to like, Jerry. But
Adam only likes the call if he likes your answer. If you don't like the answer, then you don't like the call. Unfortunately, we're telling you the truth.
Yeah, but you're not telling me very much. Okay, that's a problem. But here we're gonna move on. We're gonna move on. I read an interview with Jeff Newman. I read an interview with Jeff Newman from 2009, and he revealed in it that it's on recruiting blogs, by the way, recruitingblogs.com, and he revealed that he's got multiple sclerosis. I was shocked. And then yesterday, you told me that you've also got multiple sclerosis. I got a friend whose girlfriend has multiple sclerosis. That is a terrible illness. I mean, I don't know, maybe she's way more advanced in her disease or older than you guys, but I don't know how. She can't work. I'm wondering.
Well, hold on. Hey, Jim, you've got a girlfriend?
No, my friend's got a girlfriend.
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, yeah, okay. I knew I heard something that just was not right there.
Don't
okay,
nervous.
Go ahead.
Now, tell me, multiple sclerosis. I mean, that's a terrible disease.
Thank you, but you can do anything with multiple sclerosis. If you, and I'm not, let's not get crazy. I'm certainly not judging your friend's girlfriend by any stretch of the word, because multiple sclerosis is, and I hate to use this analogy, but it is like a snowflake, and no two people have it exactly the same. So that's the caveat, first and foremost, okay? A lot of multiple sclerosis, because it is a neurological condition, is keeping a positive attitude. I mean, the scientific part of things is that you secrete hormones in your brain when you stay happy versus when you're nasty. And the other issue is that it is very much mind over matter. My multiple sclerosis personally has taken a downturn. I've had it 17 years. I went to work 17 years ago in high heels, and I now walk with a cane every day. And I can't walk without it. I'm very unbalanced, and I look like a drunk. So rather than people wonder if I'm drunk, it's better just to walk with a cane and ward people in New York City away from me, which is also easier commuting. Multiple sclerosis makes you, in the workforce, makes you more focused. It makes you more, and I quote, meticulously detail-oriented, because you try that much harder. You write things down more. You pay closer attention. You listen with more ears than the person normally would, because you know you've got something stacked up against you. So the short answer is that how can you work with multiple sclerosis? You get up every day and put both feet on the floor and open your eyes. And that's how you live with multiple sclerosis.
That you don't really have a bad case? Is that what you're saying?
I have a bad enough case. I have drop foot, and I'm here to tell everybody it doesn't matter. I have drop foot, which is steppage gait. I take an injection every day. I'm not in a wheelchair. I'm still mobile, but I'm not as healthy as you are, which remains to be seen. I understand all of that.
I need to interject here. There will be no animal show after show today, as our format is typically to lambaste and bash the guest. That is now off the table, and there is no after show.
Why? Just you're treating her like a second-class citizen?
Yep.
No.
That, Jerry, would be the worst thing ever you could do to
the
because she doesn't want to be treated any
differently. Newsflash, we're back on, and I can't wait to handle this lady.
I have MS too,
nice
as you read.
My symptoms
are different. And what Melissa said is, do you really want to know? I have the worst one I have is bowel urgency. When I got to go to the bathroom, get the heck out of my way, because I got about a 5-second warning.
Goodness.
And I have gone to the point where I'm not embarrassed by it anymore, because, you know, we all poop our pants on occasion, me more so than others. And it's just something that happens. And what do? You deal with it. I carry around a change of clothes because I know it happens once or twice a year. So I don't have Melissa's drop foot. I got something else. It's her answer is the same. I love recruiting. I love my job. I wouldn't give it up. I get out of bed, I go in and do it. And the thing she doesn't mention is the MS fatigue. Most common symptom with MS. You just get tired for no reason. So what do? You drink coffee, which doesn't help with the bowel issues, but that's neither here nor there. You take the pills they give you. You do what you have to do. But most important to me was what you said, Jerry. you have to beat up Melissa on the after show as much as you would do anything else, because we all have challenges in life. Her challenge happens to be MS. It happens to be one of my challenges. I survived September 11th and then got diagnosed with MS 3 months later. Wasn't my best year. And I went through a depression. The medicine that they have you take, one of the side effects is suicide. Suicide is a side effect. And all you can do is make a choice. And you come out the tunnel the other side. And I hit that tunnel that I went through, and I had a choice. I said, I can be a miserable human being and bitter, and I can just face everything with a smile and be happy. And I made my choice, and Melissa made hers. And I know the worst thing, you know, I don't want to speak for her, but in my opinion, the worst thing you could do was treat her different because she has it, because she uses a cane. I wouldn't want you to give me any special treatment because I haven't. I'm open and honest.
No problem. I'm going to blast you people. I got the message. I can't wait.
Okay. Now look, I got one more question. Okay.
Go ahead.
It's Terry Garr. I think she's got MS, the actress.
Yes,
and I was reading that she started getting it. She started noticing symptoms in 1983 when she was making Tootsie, but it didn't get diagnosed till like 1999. How long did it take for you guys to get diagnosed? Like, did you wander around saying, what's wrong with me, for a long time, and then finally someone told you you had it, or did you know you had
symptoms?
That's
what happened.
That's what happened with me.
Yeah.
I got sick
in Europe on vacation. I came home. I had all these tests, an MRI, a spinal tap, and the doctor said, we think you might have MS. So I looked it up, and I looked at all the symptoms, and there's all these minor symptoms, eye twitches, the fatigue, this tingling sensation you get in your neck, but all stuff you wouldn't go to the doctor for because they're minor. And I'm looking at the list, and I go, I have that one, 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 and I had them all. And I said, all right then. And that's how I knew 3 or 4 days before the quote-unquote official diagnosis happened that I had it. But I was diagnosed in 2002. Melissa had it already. She got diagnosed earlier. I think it shows up in women earlier.
Yeah, I got diagnosed at 22 in 1998. And I had 3 exacerbations in very rapid succession that went away also just as rapidly as they came. And by the third one, I couldn't feel my fingertips at all. And 17 years later, I still don't feel them. So,
okay, but you can type, right? You can type. So it sounds like recruiting's not a bad job for people who are ill, because you can sit in a chair and be on the phone. Is that right?
Who's ill? Nobody's ill around here.
Okay.
I don't know who's ill.
Okay.
We're not ill.
I'm going to go on a bit more. We got it.
No, you're not. Because just because we're recruiters doesn't mean we sit around all day and type and talk on the phone. It means we have a job that we care about, just like the construction guy cares about what he does. Can I physically do a different job? Maybe, maybe not. But it doesn't mean we're ill. It means we're living with what we've got. So there's that soapbox.
Okay. Well, now you're loud, at least. I can hear you because you're full of passion.
Yeah, now you're talking my language.
Okay.
Fine.
Now, super recruiter Juliette DeBobigny, she's like the number one recruiter in Silicon Valley, and she says she likes to ask candidates, what are you reading? And she says the reason she likes to ask that question is to understand their curiosity and what inspires them. And she says they need to be able to form a cogent argument about where they are taking their interest. She really wants to understand, if you're interested in this, how's that being manifested in your professional life? Do you think that's a reasonable question? I've heard of it before, but I don't ask people what they're reading. Do you, Melissa, ask people what they're reading?
I don't, but you know something? One of my managers does. He's a guy who listens to 40 audiobooks a year, and he always asks people what they're reading. I don't. I say read whatever the heck you want. You want to read smut, you want to read a comic book, not just, I agree.
Yeah.
Read whatever you want. I don't care.
Yeah. Okay. And then this other super recruiter, Shannon Callahan of Andreessen Horowitz, she tries to find interesting little personal interests in the people's resumes. I think she only uses it as a conversational opener, right? So
I agree with. That's what we've been saying all along. We said it. You disagreed. She said it. You agree. You find the personal connection, and that's how you become a good recruiter. It's your way to make that personal connection with somebody.
Yeah, you're not listening very well because I didn't say I agree with her, okay? Where's your meticulous detail now, okay?
I misunderstood after your mumbling. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Mumble.
Yeah. She also says, Shannon Callahan, she says that engineers are myopic, meaning they're short-sighted. She says they look at their careers in a very tactical way. They don't think long-term. Designers, she says, are heads-down workers. They don't watch market trends. So you call them up, and, you know, they have no idea how competitive they are or, you know, how they, you know, how their company stands in relationship to others. They don't have a big picture. Do you find that's true?
No, I don't. I find they all know their worth. They may not know their company, and that might be the case, but believe me, every designer, every software engineer, any creative, they all know what they're making and what they could be making, and then they have the what they should be making. How far that
and
is from the truth, who knows?
How accurate is that, their ideas of what they should be?
You know what? Certain things, for certain places, it depends. Right now, on the mobile side of things, they all know, and they're pretty accurate.
Uh-huh.
They're pretty accurate.
Now, listen, if these two women are the top recruiters in Silicon Valley, Shannon Callahan and Juliette de Bobigny, who's got an English accent, et cetera, and she was a debating team member, how come everybody isn't as good as Shannon Callahan or Juliette de Bobigny? What separates the rest of us from them? Do you have any idea?
I don't even know who they are, so I'm not sure.
Who are these people, and where are you going here?
I was reading articles this morning in Forbes magazine and in Fast Company, and they were touting these two women as the top recruiters in Silicon Valley. Something special about them, right? That's not special about most of the people who are on this show. I want to know what separates the good recruiter from the bad recruiter, from the super recruiter, the top talent. Remember I talked about the top talent at the beginning of the show? What separates the top talent recruiters from the run-of-the-mill recruiters, the mediocre recruiters? You know, is it just that, you know, the mediocre recruiter would rather spend time with his family than devote 25 hours a day to the job? Or, you know, is the top talent, top recruiter, are they bigger hustlers or do they have higher IQs?
I want to spend time with my family.
Listen, it's a combination, right, of hard work and luck. It's hard work and luck. You can split the pie any way you want. At the end of the day, 50% of the people are above average and 50% of the people are below average.
What about Jerry's claim, before we're done, what about Jerry's claim that not every company needs top talent? They just need someone who can do a regular job.
Higher character and trained skill. I agree. Higher character and trained skill. You have people who care, who want to do the job, who will do the job. They don't have to be the biggest, the best. Nobody cares.
So what then about recruiting agencies who swear they only place the top 10% of people?
You want to know what I think? I think they're full of shit.
You have to draw the line
somewhere. Take 100 people and cut them in the middle. 50% of them are above average and 50% are below. Now take the top 50 and draw the line again. At 25, those 50%, the top 25 of the top 25, and now that top 50% is the bottom 25%. You're always going to draw a line somewhere.
Yeah. So what you
when
said,
you think
you're,
about
you're,
it, right?
Hold on. You're in a highly technical field, right? Guys are from mobile. You work in the mobile field. Highly technical, and you're saying you hire for character? I would hire for skills. Secondly, I want to know how.
Why? You have to have your skill. Your skill is what you've learned. You can go sit at General Assembly and go learn C++. You can train it. Read a book.
You can't train how to have character. You can't train how to care. You can't train how to be a team player. That's
the question. Here's the big closing question then. How do you hire for character? Maybe, you know, I'm just hoping you might have one example or two where you actually determine the character of a candidate, and you can tell us how to do that. So in the last 5 minutes of the show, you can tell us how to assess character, and we can go away with that for the people who've, you know, made it this far.
Here's what you're going to go away with. You have to have a feel, okay? It's an intangible quality. You have to develop a personal connection. You have to listen to what people are saying. You have to be able to have a conversation with them. Is it it's the best way to develop rapport and a relationship? You listen to them. We're back to the example about my guy in financial services. You have to listen. It's not about the skill. It's about them as a human being. We know they have a skill. They wrote it on a piece of paper. They have a degree that says they can do it. You have to deal with a person and not a resume and not a piece of paper.
And
you
what
don't
is
have
your
to like my answer, but it
I don't like
it
your
is.
Answer. I don't like your answer.
You
I'll tell you quite bluntly. I'll tell you quite bluntly. I don't care that you have multiple sclerosis. I don't like your answer. Okay, it's done.
How many?
It didn't tell me anything.
Animal, how many people did you recruit and place from
Twitter?
Oh, now she's done it.
What?
She asked you about your professional track record, which I thought was clearly off limits.
You can't lose sight of the human being in terms of the skill set. We're not placing toasters. A toaster doesn't care. A toaster isn't like, oh, I've had enough sourdough this week. I'm out of there.
This, Jeff, in the recruiting business, a candidate is a widget. Okay. They are your product. They're a commodity.
With an attitude like that, you will never be successful.
You're
going to
be stuck in Canada forever with that attitude, Animal.
It makes me so sad. That makes me sad because it's not even on Wall Street. Even on Wall Street, they need personality. And I didn't like recruiting on Wall Street because they really want automatons. But at the same time, you drive a car off the lot, it's not your problem anymore.
Did she hang up? Cause I
don't think so.
I made that joke about multiple sclerosis. Did she?
I would have slammed the phone down. That was way out of bounds.
We were just joking about it a minute ago. He said we can talk about it roughly. Is Melissa still on the line?
I think she's still on the line.
She's not taking the opportunity to say I'm still here.
Yeah, that would be a first way for her to kind of clue us
in
here.
She just
pinged me that she's talking.
Okay, well, I can't hear her. Is anybody else here?
Nope.
I think she got insulted. There she is.
I just heard her.
No. I'm here.
Yeah, okay, the last question. This is the last question.
I thought the last question was the last question.
Yeah, I know, but she didn't take advantage of the opportunity, okay? She just gave us that answer. What's your cold call? You're a rapport builder. Jeff just told us. What's your cold call when you call somebody up? What's the first thing? First of all, do you have to send an email first, or you still believe in cold calls?
Cold calls.
Okay. What's the first thing you say to
Don't them? We all just pay someone else to do our cold calls for us now?
Are
you still doing your own?
What's the first thing you say to somebody? Now Jerry gets involved. When I don't have anything to say.
I'm warm enough for the after show, dude.
You can tell me what your cold call is. Let me walk away with that. I want to hear what a rapport builder is. I'm not a rapport builder. People don't like me right off the bat.
Wait.
We know.
Okay, go ahead.
Why?
Tell me what I should do. Tell me. I want to hear your words.
Listen. Here's the truth of the matter. There is no script, or at least there shouldn't be. Again, you're losing your personal touch. You can't have a script. You look somebody up, you find their resume, then you hunt, you call, and the conversation is tailored to the person, not the piece of paper. So that's what I'm going to teach you about recruiting today, Anna.
And the other half of it is you don't change. Be yourself. I know, just like you, Mike, we're both black licorice. People either love black licorice or they hate black licorice. There's no in between. But my career became more successful when I stopped being who I thought the man wanted me to be and just started being Jeff Newman. And my no BS, my honesty, who I am, turned candidates on, as it should. Because there wasn't, you don't sell Mercedes and then drive up to your job in a Lexus. Be who you are, and that's how you're successful. And it's not going to work every time.
I won't say that's trite. I'll say it's profound. And thank you, Jeff, and thank you, Melissa. I've enjoyed meeting you. We're going to move on to the after show now, but I'd like you to call in again sometime. Thank you!
I don't know where to go with this.
I have a few suggestions.
Give me your best one.
In respect for any ladies on the line, Jerry, I won't.
Okay.
But by the way, I might have some business for you in the next week or two. If I get the information, I can't do it, so I might pass it along to you.
Appreciate it. That's why I do all this. So somebody somewhere will have some business for homie.
Homie? Where do you live again? Homie? Hey, Jerry, let's understand something. I was born in Compton. It's on my birth certificate.
Ooh.
So don't pull homie on me, Mr. Payton.
So you're,
okay?
Are you straight out of Compton then?
Hey, me and Dre, baby.
Do you have
like
an attitude?
Okay. What the fuck are you talking about? I'll tell you, I got on the call a little late, but I would have had some great attitude today because, man, Animal was...
Yeah,
was
that was a, this was a weak show, man. I'm going to give my scores right now, 50-50.
55-55, but just because I love... Well, hey, by the way, Melissa's not on. What's Melissa's last name? I don't know her.
Adamo, Adamo.
Okay, thank you. But
I don't
yeah,
think she's been recruiting that long.
I love her attitude.
What?
Let me look.
Man, I don't know.
Oh, she works with Jeff at Mobiquity.
Yeah.
Let's see. She's been doing
Who else has some scores here? Because I got to get ready for a 2:30 customer visit.
Oh, yeah, but
hey,
she was
this is
a
Mike.
Jeffrey,
I'll
yeah.
do 50-50 on that. That
yep.
was a lukewarm
yep.
at best.
At best, and that's that. Lukewarm was the high point.
Hey, by the way, Jerry, check your Twitter account, man. That thing's going crazy.
All right.
If you're on TweetDeck, I think it's got a bug. You need to sign out and back in.
Yeah, TweetDeck's got a problem, or mine does. So I'm going to just uninstall
yeah.
it.
Yep.
Hardware, software, added device, uninstall a program. TweetDeck. Bam! It's gone.
Hoot sweet, here I come.
You know, I tried that, and I don't know, man. I'm only ever on this thing for the Animal Show and to ridicule job posters.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Who's that?
Duke.
Hey, Duke. You guys
hey,
know
man.
Duke Yeager?
No Duke Yeager, just Duke.
Just Duke. No last names required with a name like that.
Right.
What do you think of the show?
God, it sucked.
It blew.
I mean, I don't know how. I wasn't even able to tune. Did it get any better?
No.
From where?
The end of it. Yeah, I just had an issue. I had to wrap up there at the end, so I was... kind of out of it for a minute, but yeah, that was awful. That's probably one of the...
There was never a springboard moment, if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, that's putting it lightly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this... I didn't gain much from this show, I don't think. But
I wasn't on last week's show, And I'm thinking that, because I've had feedback that last week's show was a really good one.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad.
I think he's gone to the well too many times for the Mobiquity crowd here.
Right.
He was looking to recreate the magic.
Yeah, what was it? You know, I guess I kind of dropped off around agency versus whatever, and I thought, oh, yeah, now we're, in fact, I even piped up and said, all right, now we're getting into it.
Yeah, that was the high point.
You know, off the rails again. I don't.
No. So what scores do you have today?
I don't feel right throwing off. Is there a.
No, you don't even have to feel right about it.
Okay. I'm going to go, I'll go 60s across the board.
Really? Generous. All right,
yeah,
who else? I got to get out of here in 3 minutes. Blake Cannon, are you still with us?
Yeah, man.
What do you think of this show?
What's up?
What's going on?
I gave her a 40, Animal a 50 for showing up, and then I gave Jeff a 75 because he carried half the show.
Wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess.
Talking about pooping his pants and everything. I mean, that was.
Yeah, what? Yeah, where do. Yeah, I wasn't sure where to go with that.
Yeah.
Hey, guy carries the extra set of clothes. I mean, geez.
That's probably the best line from the show of the day.
Yeah,
we all poop our pants from time to time.
Giving props to being prepared.
Yeah. All right. Well, glad you called in today, Blake. You didn't say anything.
Oh, I was laughing in the background.
You know, you're allowed to talk during the show. You know what I mean, guys?
Yeah, I know.
All right, who else has a score?
I was too busy looking at blue bikinis and stuff. I don't know.
There are plenty of them on the Internet.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Nobody? Yeah, the show gets a two sideways thumbs today.
It'd be a scratch.
that's about fair to middling then.
Yeah.
Right?
All right. Well, in the off chance that some hiring manager will stumble into this phone call, give me a call, 260-347-1715. We are a full service recruiting agency.
Yeah.
Coast to coast,
agency.
Baby.
Agency.
All right, guys. Have a good one, and I won't be around next week, so who wants to do the after show? Mike Cox, you want to take over next week?
If I'm on? Oh, no, I'm not. I'm traveling next week. Sorry.
If
I happen to jump on, I'll
I can't leave it up in the air like that, man. I got to know that this baby is firmly in a crib.
I'll fall on the sword if no one else is available, Jerry.
All right. All right, everybody, take it easy, man. See you around. Bill
later,
was okay. Dude. Animal was okay. But the show itself, I just...
Same old thing.
As a recruiter, there's nothing I'm going to now take to my desk. And I am in a state of constant listening, learning, and applying. That's my thing. I got nothing from the show. I'm not going to do anything new. That's what I'm looking for in my learning phase of my career. Are you familiar with the after show and its format and the goal of said show, Cliff?
No.
What we do is on a scale of 1 to 10, you need to rate the guest and then the host.
Oh, okay.
And you can pick a score for any reason you want. Some people might disagree with you, challenge your score, but in general, whatever you want to score. Whole numbers only, please.
Okay.
You know, I have my issues with all of them, with recruiting blogs. Jason Davis, I love the guy. I don't like some of the decisions he made. David Manister, same thing. I have his home phone numbers. I love the guy. He knows that I've got his back. Same thing with Jason. But, you know, everyone is trying to create a community that is different. And you know what? None of them are different. There is nothing new that hasn't in articles that come coming out on all these blogs and all these sites that we haven't touched upon 10 years back, 15 years back, 20 years back. Nothing.
I just wrote a post for Animal saying boycott Animal's radio show until he stops criticizing job seekers.
Ooh.
But Animal says that his show is not about criticism, that it's about spiritual liberation.
It is.
Oh, please. It's you and your big fat ego screaming.
everybody else is running around telling all these people how great they are and how they're a star and that there's greatness in everybody. Animal's just trying to tell people straight, hey, look, man, your profile sucks, your attitude sucks, straighten it out, and let's get you on the right path. I don't think telling everybody that everything they do is perfect and great is helpful or beneficial in any way.
There are ways of, you can redirect behavior without being cruel and preying on someone's flesh like a vulture.
He knew what he was in for, and sorry if you don't like the results. We're all big boys here. Big boys, big girls. We're all adults. Yeah, if you're going to get, you know, hurt feelings over something of any kind of constructive criticism, don't ask a person for their opinion. You don't want the truth, don't ask. It's as simple as that. We don't like what we hear, but sometimes we need to hear it.
What she
Listen,
said.
I'm going to give you the same kind of interview as if you were, you're looking for a job. If you were coming to me for a job, I'm going to ask you the same, very same questions. But we've got a panel interview here. Anybody on the panel is welcome to butt in and ask a question or a follow-up. Is that okay?
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, you guys?
Hey, Michael.
You guys, are you in on this? Do you have some questions? You start thinking about them. Okay, Alex, first question. Have you ever heard that Eskimos have 32 different words for snow?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, okay. They were. They do. Anybody else know that?
I knew that.
Okay, yeah. So, well, I was going to ask her, if you were a snowflake, which word would apply to you? That's a pretty good one, eh?
Oh, my God.
I had a question.
Well, Lena, we can change it. Alex, if you were a snowflake, what color would you be?